listening to Gasper and Murray.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Once again, Gronk was out, and Gronk wasn't dressed, and Gronk was inactive. And never forget that Bill Belichick wanted to trade Gronk during the offseason. Remember when Gronk admitted it, that he heard it and he knew it. They didn't want me in New England.
Yeah, it happened. And Brady's my quarterback. That's all. Wasn't going anywhere without Brady.
Gronk has one touchdown all year. Gronk can't stay healthy. And Belichick was right on Gronk, too. It's over. He's the most overpaid player on that Patriot roster, and it's not close. The two moves that Belichick pushed back on, he didn't want to give up Garoppolo. Bob Kraft stepped in. We're trading Garoppolo. Tommy's my guy. The second move that Belichick wanted to make, Gronk can't stay healthy. We've got to move on. Brady stepped in. Gronk's my guy. We can't make a move. You watched this yesterday? Gronk's irrelevant. I don't even... Going into games, is he playing? Is he not? Who cares?
Gasper, Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Gronk's irrelevant. Who cares? Harsh criticism from FS1's Colin Cowherd on Patriots tight end Rob Gronkowski, who traveled to Nashville last Sunday and didn't play in the game. I did the same thing. I might as well have been Rob Gronkowski last weekend. I traveled to Nashville. I didn't play in the game. I said it earlier. I'll say it again. I had an epiphany on Rob Gronkowski this week. I'm over it. I don't care anymore. I'm now apathetic about Rob Gronkowski. Play, don't play, hurt, not hurt, whatever. Whatever. He essentially is irrelevant. I don't care anymore. We asked Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal, who's going to join the show in a little bit, too, because he's going to have some news about something that's going to be on BSJ tomorrow that you want to check out, especially if you're a Patriots fan. But we asked him in the 10-question segment that he does on Felger and Maz on Tuesday, who's the biggest Patriots tool bag? And my answer when it came to me, it's Rob Gronkowski. I'm just over it. You hurt? What's going on with you? You going to play? You travel with the team, but you can't play? Huh? Oh, whatever. And it pains me to say, but I'll always admit when I'm wrong, I was wrong to doubt Bill Belichick when he wanted to trade him in the preseason. I get it now. He's a shell of himself. I don't think it's ever going to be the same with Rob Gronkowski. And I argued that they had to keep him because, you know, I believed that report. What was it? Who's the dude? And he got roundly mocked by so many of the beat folks that he put out there that, you know, Tom Brady said, well, if you trade Gronk, I'm going to retire. But I believe that because I don't think that the whole relationship between Brady and Belichick's icy. So you had to do it. You had to keep him. Otherwise, Brady was going to retire. He kind of had him over a barrel. But in terms of just, you know, how he plays, and it looks like Belichick was right to be getting out from under a player a little bit early rather than too late, he was right to want to trade him. It wasn't despite Brady or anything like that. It's because, well, he just kind of looks done. And he was wishy-washy. He wants to retire. He doesn't want to retire. I don't know. Is your heart in it? Is your heart not? Whatever, dude. I've reached the point, which I think is the worst point you can reach as a sports fan. Apathy about something. Your team, a player. When you just don't care anymore, that's the worst. If they make you mad, you feel, you know, that sports hate and anger towards a player or a team, that's still good. That's healthy. You should feel that as a sports fan. When you're apathetic, that's when you've reached the bottom. That's where I'm at with Rob Gronkowski. I just don't care anymore. He's kind of a luxury, I guess. One touchdown back in week one against the Houston Texans. I'm good. Whatever. Play, don't play. I just don't care anymore. Rick and Littleton on the Patriots. You're next here on a Gasperless Gasper Murray. Hi, Rick.
Oh, hey, this is wonderful. It's nice to talk to you. First of all, I am totally with you on how you guys have been parsing the ills of the offense over the last week, all right? But one of the things that made me want to turn off the tube with last week's game was that the defensive secondary looks as though they are playing powder puff flag football. The tackling, the communication, the positional play in zone, it's a disgusting product. And I don't know whether it's coaching. I don't know whether it's the fact that they are so skittery about being able to deliver a hit now that the arm tackling and the yards after catch, which keeps them in ridiculously stupid down and distance positions and extra first downs, it's not worth watching. It's a terrible product. And I've been watching football a long time, all right? My very first witness and only witness, okay, and I want to tell you this, of a live professional football game was the NFL championship game in Yankee Stadium, the first overtime game ever between the Colts and the Giants.
Oh, yeah, they call it the greatest game ever.
I was there as an 8-year-old, and I remember it like it was yesterday. I am a living witness to that game. So I've been watching football for a long time, right, before the Patriots were a twinkle in our eyes. And when you talk about apathy, it's that the rules have degenerated the ability for these guys to play with any kind of real football technique. That's the only conclusion that I can draw, and I want your thoughts on that.
Oh, Rick, and thanks for the call. I mean, I could do 10 hours on this. I mean, they've continued to water the game down year by year, especially over the last 4 to 5 years. He's going back to whenever that was, the 50s, whenever the hell that game was. Dude, go back 5 years. It looks like a completely different game. 5 years. And thankfully, some of the rules they tried to implement, Joe, in the preseason, like the whole helmet rule, they really have kind of turned a blind eye to, thankfully. But my thing is, I've become apathetic with the NFL, but the NFL still has me over a barrel. It's my favorite product. It's the one sport I continue to care about the most, even though they continue to beat me down as a fan and water the game down. They got me. Hook is in this big fish's mouth. But I've come to the conclusion for me, if you're going to take the violence out of the game, if you're going to take the fundamentals like tackling out of the game and those kind of things like the caller was just talking about, at least open it up and make it more entertaining. And they've done that. I can live with that. I'll turn the blind eye to the violence and the things that I loved about the game growing up watching it. If you're going to make it more entertaining in terms of the offense, we don't really know what a catch is, but it kind of looks like a catch, so that's going to be a catch. You're going to reward the entertaining play. I can live with it.
Yeah, and obviously you mentioned the game changes in tackling and hitting high, hitting low, you know, what's targeting, what's not. I just think one thing with the Patriots secondary is there's just a lot of tape on them. There's a ton of tape. All the playoff games, everything. Like, I'm sure there's a scouting report on Devin McCourty. Hey, he's a good tackler, but he's slow. You know, hey, Patrick Chung, he can cover tight ends, but, you know, he can't cover deep. There's a lot of things with these guys. Daron Harmon, he is what he is.
Yeah.
And Stephon Gilmore, I don't know what he is. Is he a man-to-man guy? Can he not play zone? Some weeks he's looks like one of the best corners in the league, and the next it's like he hasn't even got off the bus yet. So, yeah, I think the secondary is bad, and they don't have a lockdown guy. And I don't know. One of the rumors we heard this week was they still wanted to re-sign Malcolm Butler.
Right.
After everything that happened. You know, that's where it starts. And again, this Duke Dawson kid, he was a stud at Florida. I know there's a big transition issue, you know, second round pick, all that stuff. But maybe this kid can help in the slot. That's what he's trying to be. And maybe that's why they kept this injured reserve spot for him.
Yeah. The regression for Stephon Gilmore last week was, that's another thing that I found alarming, because to me, he was arguably the best player on the team, definitely on that side of the ball, but of the team so far this season. And, you know, you're getting all these glowing reviews from the Pro Football Focus types and those that chart all this stuff. And he looked like bad Stephon Gilmore of last year, like lost Stephon Gilmore like he did against the Carolina Panthers in that game in October of last year. That was a disaster, and they targeted him. They were going at him. So, like you say, Joe, like maybe Mike Vrabel and the coaching staff of the Tennessee Titans just did their homework, watched the tape, and said, no, this is a mirage. He hasn't really been that good that year. He's the same guy. We're going to go at him. And he was awful. Oh, my God. Alan in California, you are next here as we're talking about the Patriots. You're up on Gaspar Murray. Hi, Alan.
Hi, Jim. That caller before last, or it was the last caller, the last time I felt addicted to the Patriots was the fall of 2015 when they were just stomping on everything in their path, and then they started getting hurt. The guy that I kind of miss this year is Deion Lewis. It just seems like they had such an up-tempo offense with Deion Lewis. And the other thing was, last week, the thing that bothered me the most about last week was the lack of creativity and no adjustments whatsoever. And by the way, this team sucks, and I've never seen so many players that don't look like NFL players, don't even resemble a product that you would see in the NFL. And thanks a lot.
Thanks, Alan. Okay, well, Alan's already made his assessment. They suck.
Well, I agree with that. I agree with some of that.
Yeah.
Like, Landon Roberts, I know he had a sack last week, but what's he still doing out there?
Straight line Landon. He's in the backfield. straight line. If you're right in front of him, oh, he'll get you. You go to the left or right, you're going to blow right past him. And I hear great things about what type of dude he is, great locker room presence. Yeah. Anyone that covers the team said he's a really nice dude, but boy, he's lacking in talent.
And I still think Hightower's bad.
That's a shame because I love Dante Hightower. I thought it was so important for him to be back. And that's another guy like Gronk that looks like a complete shell of himself. Yeah, I'm with you on that, too. And 779-0985, continue the conversation about the Patriots. That caller is pretty much sounds like he's written them off. I'm close. They look like the 2009 Pats to me. It's a bad place to be. Comparatively speaking with the rest of the league, Joe's right. Still top 5-6-ish team in the NFL. But comparatively speaking to the other Patriots teams of the past, I think this team might stink. I mentioned Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal. He's going to have a big exclusive. He's going to hint and give us a little bit of insight of what that is going to be. It's going to drop tomorrow, I believe, on BSJ. We're going to raise him and get him on the hotline, talk a little bit about that and a little bit more about the Patriots, get his level of concern for this team going forward on their bye week. Next on Gasper and Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub.
This is Gasper and Murray.
You listen.
98.5 the Sports Hub.
Brady from the gun, takes the snap, looks toward Edelman, throws it instead right for a receiver down the sideline, Gordon, and no chance. He was well covered by Adoree Jackson.
Are you kidding me?
He was not open.
I don't even understand the call. Third and four, you're faking that bubble screen to the left. You got the stack with Edelman and Hogan over there. You've got a guy in his hip pocket. You're trying to go vertical on third and four. I'd rather run him on a slant with his size.
We just haven't had that, I would say, overall consistency and ability to practice together, which that's not an excuse. I mean, every team goes through that. You know, a lot of teams deal with injuries and moving parts and bringing different people in. That's just part of football. But we're trying to adjust and adapt like everyone else. Some weeks it's been better than others, but we're just trying to grind our way through it.
Tom Brady making bad decisions, bad throws in the loss to the Tennessee Titans on Sunday. And say, hey, we're just trying to grind our way through it. Offense trying to find their way. Is that all it is? It's Gasper Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Speaking of Brady, Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal, joins me here on the expert hotline. Good afternoon, Greg.
What's up, Jim?
You are joining me here to drop a little tease. That's going to be a must-read for Patriots fans at BostonSportsJournal.com that will drop tomorrow, correct?
Correct, yeah. I got some one-on-one time with Brady this week, and, you know, while it wasn't state of Brady, state of the offense, you know, it was more sort of mechanic-centric. You know, we did have some, you know, interesting discussions about you know, where things are with the offense, whether or not he thought he reacted too much to pressure last week, and also, you know, where he is with Chris Hogan. And I would say overall, you know, Brady is, you know, he's not frustrated where they are. He thinks that basically he said there's been years where they've had to be working on things to get things right into the playoffs, and this seems to be one of those years. But he still thinks that they can get there. I mean, I think from his comments, you can read into, you know, I would say most of the offensive struggles are coming from just personnel that he doesn't have a lot of confidence in where they're going to be right now. But they're hoping to get to a point where they do get to there.
But I feel like you should be pumping this up more a little bit, Greg, because no one's really had a one-on-one with Brady since, like, the Deflategate thing, right? Like, this is...
Yeah, I mean, I know he's talked to, you know, some people here and there, but I don't think he's had, you know, extended, you know, conversations with people. But, you know, I would say he hasn't been in hiding since Deflategate. He has certainly curtailed things, but... you know, when Brady's always been great about when you need something specific, he's always there to help out the local writers.
All right, so this will drop tomorrow, BostonSportsJournal.com. Again, and you can also sign up at BostonSportsJournal.com. Also makes a great gift for the holidays as we're getting towards that. So it's Greg with Brady. It's very mechanic-centric, but not to give away too much, there was a little tidbit in there that you hinted to myself. You texted me and Mike and Tony yesterday. There was something that kind of caught your ear when you were talking to them.
Yeah, we got to talking about, you know, how it's mid-November and they're, you know, they're still working through things. And, you know, whether it's Gronk's injury, Gordon and Patterson being new to the offense, like, you know, it's just not as precise as it has been in the past. And he brought up Danny Amendola's name out of nowhere, that, you know, he said he had years of repetitions with a guy like that and how, you know, how there's a benefit to that. And, you know, you couldn't, you know, hear the comments or read the comments and not think like, you know, he misses certain, you know, aspects of this offense, the continuity. And that's been part of the issue this year to this point. But, you know, I do think that the overriding thing is he still thinks that they can get there. It's just that, you know, they're going to have to work their way out of it. And, you know, if it doesn't turn around, I think it's going to be choppy for the rest of the season.
Well, I have you, for those that maybe didn't hear your spot on Felger and Maz on your normal Tuesday appearance this week, having gone through the film and, you know, how many times he ducked out of plays, it was really uncharacteristic. But they were bringing up pressure throughout the through the middle, and that's how you get at him and throw him off his spot. But you saw that some of that pressure really wasn't even there, right?
Yeah. Oh, no question. You know, he was only pressured on, I think it was 24-25% of the snaps, and that's you know, well, that's the average. I mean, that's well within reason. It's nothing out of the ordinary. You know, and in fact, the two guys who allowed the most pressure in the game were Brady and James White. James White gave up two sacks. He's really been struggling in pass protection. Brady brought on the other sack. You know, so, you know, I think this all, when you see stuff like this from Brady, it all goes to, he's not seeing things as well as he has in the past. He doesn't have confidence that people are going to be where they're supposed to be. And, you know, and that leads to him bailing out of plays. I mean, I asked him about that. I asked him if he thought that he was reacting too much to pressure, and he didn't think so. He talked about, like, you know, sometimes you just got to know when to, you know, give up on plays for ball security reasons. But, you know, certainly we're not used to seeing this in November, and it's an issue, but they feel like they're going to be able to work their way out of it.
And just one last thing, Greg, before I let you go. On the other side of the ball, the day that Stephon Gilmore had, he gets abused by Titans receiver Corey Davis for most of that game. And to me, at least on that side of the ball, he looked like the best player in the Patriots throughout this season until last week. Was that just an aberration, or was that kind of what Stephon Gilmore was, and there was a reason that the Titans attacked him the way that they did?
Well, I would say that, you know, I do think that teams have had more opportunities to go after Gilmore than they have. But, you know, largely that was out of character for him. He does have games where his focus and concentration kind of laxes, and I think that was one of those games. He's excellent in prime time and in playoff games. But he looked like a guy a lot like the whole team in general that, you know, wasn't prepared, wasn't ready to play that game, and you know, Vrabel being aggressive towards him only amplified that.
Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal, with the big one with Tom Brady that drops tomorrow at bostonsportsjournal.com. And again, if you haven't signed up yet, makes a great gift for yourself or those in your family. But Greg with Brady, again, that drops tomorrow right around the afternoon, Greg, or in the morning?
Yeah, it'll be up in the morning.
Yep. All right, Greg, thanks for taking the time. Enjoy your enjoy the weekend off, my friend.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Jim.
All right, Greg Bedard. He'll be in, I believe, this Tuesday with Felger and Maz, but Bedard with Brady. That's a big get. BostonSportsJournal.com. If you haven't signed up yet, great website, BostonSportsJournal.com. One segment to go before we lead you into Notre Dame and Syracuse live from Yankee Stadium. Yes, broadcasting college football here in the airwaves on 98.5 Sports Hub this afternoon. In the final segment, we'll have precious little to do with about sports, but instead, it's going to be a public service announcement of sorts. Yes, a PSA about legal weed. That's next here on a Gasperless Gasper and Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Gasper and Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's a Gasperless Gasper and Murray here today. And with Gasper gone, rather than doing the five-question segment to wrap up the show, I wanted to do a public service announcement of sorts. For those of you who will be getting into the weed game, the legal weed game, for the first time this coming Tuesday, in the event you didn't hear the news yesterday, Come this Tuesday, the first recreational marijuana stores in Massachusetts will open. In fact, the first marijuana stores in the eastern part of the United States that are legal. Legal cannabis, everyone. It's here. And I thought this was cute. The Cannabis Control Commission made the formal announcement at 4:20 on Friday. Way to play into the hands of your audience. But they put in the press release that they issued full operation notices to cultivate and sell for NETA, New England Treatment Access. They're retailers in Leicester and Northampton. Now, I go to the one in Brookline, but you have to have a medical card for that because I've had my medical card for years. You know, bad back, anxiety, that whole kind of thing. But a PSA I wanted to put out there because, well, really, a lot of this had to do with Rich Schrittenlieb, Rich of Toucher and Rich. I heard him this week. He's like, you know what? I'm going to go out there. I'm going to try this for the first time. I'm going to get edibles. And I literally, Joe, I yelled at the radio, like as if those guys could hear me. They can't, obviously, because that blows my mind. Edibles, for those of you who don't know, there's no off button. I'll put it to you that way. There's really no middle ground from what I have found with edibles in my years of taking them. They either are very mild and they work for you, or it's essentially like, I don't know, eating acid.
Or mushrooms,
yeah. Not a great time. No off button. And you'll just be like, I want it to stop. So, Rich, if you're listening by any chance, or anyone that knows him, I would recommend you try something a little easier. Ease into it a little bit. Try a flower. Get a little bit of bud. Maybe buy a vape pen. They're actually pretty affordable at this time. And ease into it. Yeah, you can nibble away and work your way into edibles that way. But if you have too much, again, no off button, not a party. And you were, Joe, you're with me on this. Like, I've talked to people that say, like, they don't even work for them. But whatever your body composition is, mine must be like yours. Maybe it's the whole Murray thing. Maybe our bloodline is close because of the last name. But I know I can't deal with them at all.
Yes, and I agree with you with the off button. Like, hey, everybody smoke. You're at a party. Man, let's smoke a deal. Okay, great. Like, you get high and then, like, you eat. And then it's over. You know, when you do mushrooms, when you do edibles, it literally is like, when I say like mushrooms, you physically can't operate.
Yeah.
You can't shut it off.
Yeah, it's not great.
What I've heard.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no, at this point, I don't think we have to dance around this. Like, it's not bad for you. It's been demonized for years and years by people that are either not educated on the subject, have never tried it, or they buy into the nonsense that's been shoved down their throats for most of their lives. Anyone over 21 is going to be able to go to one of these two new stores. You can pick up whatever you really want. Lozenges, bud, vape. Whatever, on your way home from work. And Joe, you were thinking about actually making the trip. You've actually never actually been in a legal dispensary. It is,
yes.
It is kind of neat to walk in for the first time.
I mean, let's be honest. You could probably go to your regular weed dealer and get a better deal.
Sure.
Right?
Yep.
But I want to know what this all the Maui Waui. I want to know what all the other names. I want to smell them. I want to touch it. I want to stick my face in it. I want to try different vapes and see what the oils are all about.
It is. It's because of how demonized it's been for most of our lives to walk into one and to realize, like, wow, this is actually legal. This is like walking into a liquor store. There is kind of a cool feeling to it. And look, the people that work, these bud tenders, if you will, they're highly educated on the subject. They know what they're dealing with. Just to simplify, again, PSA of sorts for those of you maybe going out to Leicester or Northampton for the first time on Tuesday, and they're going to be swamped. Maybe try to get there early. The sativas, they get you up. The indicas, they get you down. It's like you want to melt into your couch. And typically, I don't actually prefer the latter, but I will say, again, I have my medical card, so I can talk about this openly with no issues whatsoever. I have back issues. If you followed me before or if you watched any of my off-air show videos, I had a real bad back problem earlier this year, and it actually flared up again. I was like, oh, man, I don't have time to go see a chiropractor this week. I couldn't schedule an appointment. I was like, you know what? I'm going to go to NETA. I'm going to get myself an indica because I typically don't screw around with those, but I want to, like, ease down. I want to try to stretch out, go to some hot yoga. And I did all that, and it works. It works. You may scoff and roll your eyes and say, oh, please, they refer to this as medicine. No, it is medicine for a lot of people. Cancer patients, those with fibromyalgia, you deal with joint pain, back pain, things that I deal with, that many of us deal with, the stuff works. But I'm just telling you, ease into it. And watch out with those edibles, man, because yes. They're not that great.
And don't drive.
Yeah, and don't drive. That's obvious, too. You know, like some of the scare tactics that are out there. You pick up the Herald. Love the Herald sports page. Most of the rest of the paper can do without. And some of their scare tactics that they've been going at the legal and medical marijuana industry with over the last year or so, I find repulsive. So don't buy into too much of what they're saying. But they are right to point out, look, they're going to be looking for people that are going to be smoking and driving. You don't want to do that. You know, if you're going to go somewhere like, you know, Uber, that's all, you know, that's what, all these ride services are out there now. People utilize those. So that's all. Enjoy it when the stores open up on Tuesday. Netta in Leicester and in Northampton. And I guess all the other ones will open months later. I mean, these ones that now service the medical community, they have to eventually get it, right? Like that part, I can't speak to that, but I have to imagine some of these other ones, the one that's in Downtown Crossing, the one in Brookline, the one in Salem, they're all going to be servicing the regular folk, too, soon.
And just one more public service announcement. Sports betting, it's coming around, people. Hasn't hit Massachusetts yet, but sports betting set to make its debut at Twin River Casino around Thanksgiving. So I don't know if it's Wednesday.
Oh, this or Friday, this Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
So there's going to be a sports book at Twin River. So if you want to go out and, you know, spend the day up in Rhode Island and bet on sports, Twin River will be doing it. It will be legal in Rhode Island and within the next week or so.
And hopefully that will lead to some stuff for you and the Bankroll Boys,
that's
you
right.
And Dan Lifshitz. Get you down there, do some appearances, because you guys are giving away money right now. Joe mentioned it earlier. When we did his segment to plug some of the games you should get action on this weekend, these guys are giving away money. They're not charging for the website or their podcast. Over under 98.5 of Sports Hub. Check it out, 98.5ofSportsHub.com. This ain't like, Pharrell on the bench, sign up for my service. I'll give you winners, right, Mafia? No. Lifshitz, Joe Murray, they're just giving it away. So check out the podcast at 98.5ofSportsHub.com. For Brian Robb of Boston Sports Journal, producing the show today and obviously chiming in on the Celtics talk and the Celtics hour. Love you, B-Rob. Happy Thanksgiving. Joe Murray to you as well. Happy Thanksgiving,
happy
my friend.
Thanksgiving, man.
And again, follow him, 98.5ofSportsHub.com. Listen to Over Under. They're giving away money, him and Lifshitz. Coming up next, it is Syracuse and Notre Dame with their hideous Yankee uniforms live from Yankee Stadium. Coming up next here on the Sports Hub. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Talk to you Monday with Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.